Well, good evening. I'm going to ask you to please turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. If you would, Philippians chapter 2. We come this evening to verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2. We read beginning with the fifth verse. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on His Word tonight. Lord, it is good to be here tonight with Your people, my brothers and sisters. We thank You for the little ones. We thank You for the blessing of children. And Lord, even tonight as I watched them sing, I thought about and prayed for their families and their homes, because, Lord, what a responsibility is there and what an opportunity is there. And I pray that these little ones would grow up in families that love You dearly and serve You sincerely and raise them in the nurture and admonition of Christ. We ask that tonight, Lord, You would help as we strive to explain the things that we've learned this week, the things that You've shown me in Your Word. We need Your power, the ability that You give, not only to proclaim the truth, but to receive it. We ask You to strengthen us in our inner man. Lord, grant light to our understanding. And I also pray that You would just, in an ongoing and increasing way, grant us the desire in our hearts to embrace the truth and to walk in the truth as it is in Christ. We pray for anyone here with us tonight who doesn't have the life of Jesus. Our desire for them and prayer for them is for their salvation. We ask You all this tonight in the name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen. Well, I'll tell you how I feel when we come to verses 5 through 11. It's comparable to walking up on the edge of a great canyon or walking up to the foot of the tallest mountain you could ever imagine. That's what this section is. It is the Grand Canyon when it comes to Christology. It is the highest mountain when it comes to an understanding the fact that the second person of the triune God stepped out of heaven and descended into this earth, born of a virgin in order to save us from our sins. It is an amazing section of Scripture. And as I studied this week and as I looked at it very carefully and spent hours and hours looking at it, the feeling that I got is deep as that canyon looked when I stood there on the surface looking down into it, as you begin to descend down into the canyon, it just gets deeper and deeper. Or if you were to begin to think about climbing a mountain, it's much higher than you imagined. In fact, no way to really comprehend it, no way to really exhaust it. That's what this section is like. What we're going to do tonight is simply sort of take that big picture look at it. just going to stand on the edge and look down into the canyon. We're going to stand at the foot and look up at the mountain. We're going to recognize it in sort of a general way, what we have here, what we're looking at. And then December the 18th, what I've decided to do is wait on actually walking down into that canyon until Sunday the 18th, because this study is just perfectly intersecting with our study in the Gospel of Luke. And as we think about Christmas and we think about the Incarnation, Sunday the 18th, we're going to, on the morning of the 18th, we're going to talk about this passage from an ethical point of view, because that's its main purpose here in its context, is to impart something practical to us in terms of how we're actually to live. And then Sunday night, the 18th, we're going to look at it closely from a theological point of view, what it teaches us about Jesus and about the Incarnation. But tonight, I want to introduce it. I want us to look at it as a whole. Now, before we do that, I want to remind us of, on our journey, how we came to this canyon or came to this mountain. I want us to be reminded of what Paul is actually seeking to accomplish here. And to do that, I want you to look back with me at chapter 1, verse 27. This section finds its beginning, really, right here in chapter 1, verse 27. When he says to the Philippian church, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened at anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have.